Okay, good morning everybody. We are starting this week Parashat Va'era. And when we talk about this, is, by the way, it's very important to understand that whatever we talk now is going to be very relevant in on Erev Pesach, on Leil HaSeder. Though maybe if they could organize those Parash Sefer Shmot on going on when Pesach comes, but he didn't conduct it. But what is Pesach all about? About Yitziat Mitzrayim. And one of the main questions is, what is so important about Yitziat Mitzrayim? That we mention it every day a few times. Then we have a special evening that we talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim the whole night. And if we talk about it every day, and then we have a special night. What is so important about Yitziat Mitzrayim? And this all starts in our parsha. When last parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to Pharaoh, he's telling him, I came here to order you to send Am Yisrael and leave them.
Let
my people go. As we all know, the famous phrase. And Pharaoh, instead of letting Am Yisrael go, he makes things even worse. And when he makes it worse, they come out of the palace and they meet the people, and the people are very angry. He says, what have you done? Instead of making things better, you made them even worse. And then Moshe Rabbeinu approaches God and tells him, Lama areota la'am hazeh? Why did you make things worse for the people? And this is a real chutzpah, you know. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did you send me? Lama shlachtani? You told me I'm going to save them, and you send me. Why did you send me? Things are only getting worse, not better. And this is very interesting. How is Moshe Rabbeinu approaching God in this way? So whatever God is doing, God knows what he does. And he tells you to do this, you do this, you don't ask questions. And we also remember that for 7 days he was arguing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu about going or not going. And so we look at Moshe Rabbeinu and we try to understand and figure out what's going on. And how is Kodesh Baruch Hu answering Moshe Rabbeinu about his chutzpedik question? And he's telling him, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, ata tireh et asher you will see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Is this an answer? He asked you, why did you make things worse? You will see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. And then we start in our parsha. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe. Vayomer elav ani Hashem. Vayera el Avraham el Yitzhak vel Yaakov ve'el Shaddai. Ushmi Hashem lo nodati lahem. And he tells them, I am the God. So God is talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayomer Elav, I am God, and I showed myself to Avram and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov, and with my name, El Shaddai. But with my name, Hashem, God, I was not known to them. And I also made a covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. And I also heard the people of Am Yisrael are crying to me. And I want to understand what's going on here. What does all this have to do with the question of Moshe Rabbeinu? Why did you make things worse? And also very interesting, the use of the names of God has got a meaning. Elohim is din, is judgment. Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, is mercy, is chesed. Now, in the same pasuk, he's using the two words, Elokim Midat Adin, which is judgment, and God, Yudkei Vavkei, which is Chesed. Then, another thing, when it's written Vayedaber, Vayedaber is always something difficult, an order, something not so nice. Vayomer, when it's Omer or Vayomer, it's something nice, it's something very nice. So the question is, in the same pasuk he uses Vayedaber Elokim, like a difficult thing, and God judgment is talking with him, and then he's telling to him nicely, Vayomer Hashem, I am God, I am mercy, I am thing. So there are a lot of explanation why in the same pasuk we use this and this and this. And one of the explanations says, first of all, God is telling him off. He says, "Vayomer Elokim, you know, I'm God. How dare you speak with me like this?" So the Orachaim Akadosh says, "Bar Minan." It's like a very hard word. How dare you speak with me like this? I am Hashem. I am God. I am all mercy. I am everything. And this is from Mom. So why is he not punishing him here? Because you see, that's exactly how we discover who Moshe Rabbeinu really is. You know, in time you go through difficulties sometimes. And you are being judged according to how do you act when there are difficult times. Now, difficult times is not always when it's difficult for you, like from a physical point of view. Sometimes it's even if you have to do a certain mission, and the one who is standing in front of you is a very powerful man, and you have to deal with him. And it's not so easy to deal...
Excuse me that we are interrupting...
Okay, we go on. So we want to understand who Moshe Rabbeinu is. We start to realize that Moshe Rabbeinu is standing in front of God himself. Now, imagine to yourself you standing in front of somebody very, very powerful, and something that he does doesn't look so good for you or for the people you represent. How would you approach it? And you know, he is the one in charge on everything. So sometimes he will be very humble and afraid. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble man in the world. But are you really doing your job? If you're not saying what you have to say? No. And this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is standing in front of God, the Almighty, that did everything, which is nothing to compare to what I said now. And he's telling the Kodesh Baruch Hu off. Now, where does this come from? Does he really, Chas v'Sholom, wants to tell off the Kodesh Baruch? Of course not. But it hurts him that Am Yisrael are suffering. And when he comes, what's happening is they're suffering even more. So he's talking from love to Am Yisrael and for love to God. Because God loves Am Yisrael. And if it hurts Am Yisrael, it hurts who? It hurts also God. So God understands, that's why he chose Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the ultimate leader. So he's telling, come down, you know, I am God, judgment, but I am also God, mercy. And the real truth is that behind everything, there is only mercy. Even what we see as judgment, at the end of the day, Vayom vaydaber Elokim Moshe v'amar, Ani Hashem. To you it looks like judgment, difficult, but the real truth is, it all leads to what? To mercy, to the Geulah. And why is he not punished here? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that it comes from love. And if you look from the point of view of Moshe Rabbeinu, look how brave and how great is this guy. He's not ashamed even to talk with God directly about a problem that he thinks doesn't look right. And he doesn't do it because he wants to contradict God. He does it because he loves Am Yisrael. He loves God. So he doesn't understand what's going on here. And God is explaining to him. Now what is the explanation? He's telling, you know, I revealed myself to the Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov in a certain name, in a certain way. To you I'm revealing myself in a different way. So from one point we say, 1 minute. So what's going on here? Is Moshe Rabbeinu more important than Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov? Impossible. Cannot be. What's the point here? And what is it really revealing himself El Shaddai, and revealing himself with the name God? The difference is very simple. Till now, everything was going through nature, which nature itself is a big miracle. But all the miracles were through the nature, not above the nature, not against the nature. And what God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu now is changing. Now, it's not going to be my name or my ruling and behavior like through nature. Now it's going to be up, above, and against nature. That's a new thing. Why? And that's exactly the point. Why? Why is everything changing? And as we said, it doesn't mean that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are less than Moshe Rabbeinu, but it means that now we need this act, and why? And this brings us to why do we remember Yetziat Mitzrayim the whole year through, and we have a special night that we talk about Yetziat Mitzrayim. When the world was created, how many witnesses did we have? Nobody. Even Adam HaRishon was created at the end of the creation. And in through the generation, what happened? People stopped believing. And it got to a level that they were starting worshipping idols. And even to Am Yisrael it's happening. They go into the Egypt and they start getting the foreign influence from the Egyptian, and they start to mingle among them, as we said last week, Vatimalea Aretz Otam. And if God is not going to do something critical right now, there won't be anybody to save. That's why when we see, the Rebbe Mekotsk used to say that Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you think? The problem is taking Am Yisrael out of Egypt? No, the problem is taking Egypt out of Am Yisrael. Because they were so involved in, and we see it later on, when it's written, V'chamushim yatzu bnei Yisrael, says the Midrash, only 20% of Am Yisrael got out of Egypt. 80% of our nation stayed in Egypt. Why? Because they were idol worshippers. And even those who came out among them, we had still a problem. And this is after all the miracles they saw, which is unbelievable. But that's exactly the point. God is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you are asking why when you went to Pharaoh and you came out, everything was getting worse. He says, now you will see and you understand what. If the Geula, the redemption, would have been through nature, so like nature, night goes away and light of the day starts coming till it's day, daylight. But that's through nature. Now we're talking about above nature, against nature. In other words, it's going to be even a greater darkness, and as great is going to be, and then the light is going to come from the darkness. That's Geula Me'ala Teva. That's above nature. That's why when you came out of Pharaoh, it was the beginning already. Yes, we're starting the procedure, but the procedure, one of the parts is, first of all, darkness. Then, after the darkness, we bring the light of the Geula. And this is why I reveal myself to you with this special name, Hashem, Yudke Vavke. Because this name is the name that I do things above nature. Then we see all the miracles of Yetziat Mitzrayim. All the 10 plagues. The 10 plagues, they were all above nature. Against nature. Nothing to do with nature. Why? To show that God, there are three sections of the Makot. One is to show, Ani Hashem, I am God. Then, I am God here. I'm not there and I left the earth and I don't care about what's happening here. Ashgacha Pratit. I am looking at each one of you. Then the third one, there is nobody else. En od Elokim. En od Echad. There is nobody. In other words, the fact that God is God, the fact that God is also here looking after us, and the fact that there is nobody else like God. And this is what the purpose of the 10 plagues was. Because if God wanted to take us out of Egypt, He could have taken us with one plague. So why do we need 10 plagues? And why 10 and not 8 or 7 or 5? We see that after 5 plagues, Pharaoh himself wants to send Am Israel. So what's the problem? He wants to let the people go. So why is God hardening his heart in order to refuse to send Am Yisrael and gives them another plague, and another plague, and another. Why do we need 10 plagues? What does 10 remind you?
The fingers of both hands.
10 commandments. Aseret HaDibrot. But how was the world created? Be'asara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam. With 10 says, ma'amarot, the world was created. You can count it, there are 10. So what is really God doing? Why 10?
Sorry, yeah, just explain how was it created in 10, not in 7?
When you look at 7 days.
Yeah. Yes.
6 days, not seven, 6 days.
Yes.
But God said 10 things that created the world. You will see, Vayomer Hashem, Yi'or, Vayile, Vayomer, Vayomer. And those are 10. 10 is, ten is a very important number. And we all, 10 is a minion, the 10 commandments, the 10 ma'amaroth. There are a lot of tens. Tens is also above night. That's the geula. That's the fulfillment. There's also 10 counts in the Kabbalah. Asar Sfirot. There are a lot of tens. But let's understand, why do we need those tens? Because if the whole idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim is to prove to the world that God created the world, so what is God doing? He is showing them the ten says that He created the world. The 10 options, the 10 questions, the 10 things that make sure that who created the world? Who is the one and only one? And there is nobody else? God. That's why we need 10. So each one of the plagues, if you want to go deep into it, will show us one part of the creation. That's why we need 10. And not 6, and not 7, and not 5. So now that we understand this, we understand and realize why is it so important to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. Because Yetziat Mitzrayim is the basic of the Emunah. All the belief is built on Yetziat Mitzrayim. Because Yetziat Mitzrayim, not like in the first creation of the world, that there was nobody there to see. Here in Yetziat Mitzrayim, there are millions that see it. Now, who is it for? So we can say, the plagues are being given to the Egyptian. But do the Egyptian need to know who is God, or need to go through this special course of knowing God?
No.
Why? Because 2 minutes later, they're not there. They're finished. God destroys them. So, who is it for? What did we say before? For us. Because Am Yisrael had a lack of belief. They had a big problem. And you will ask yourself, how is it? How can it be? It's very simple. When Pharaoh makes things harder, so what do you want to do? What do you think the whole day? When the word is survivor, do you think about God? Or do you think about what you're going to eat the next hour? Do you think about redemption? Or do you think about, I have to survive? You see, there is a point of no return. Till this point, I'm worried. I pray to God. But then sometimes comes the moment of depression. That's it. I lost it. I've got nothing in the world. So people, chas v'sholom, they commit suicide. Or they're being apathetic. They don't care what happens with them. Do you know this thing? Of course. But a Jew cannot be like this. We always know there is a God there. We have to strengthen our belief. That's why we remember Yetziat Mitzrayim all the time, to understand there is a God there. And there is a God that's going to help us in any situation we are. And there is never, ever a place, en yeush ba'olam klal, says Reb Nachman in Breslev. There is no depression. There is no, I've got nothing to do. A Jew has got always something to do. And if God puts him in a test, he can go through this test. It's not easy sometimes, and it wasn't easy in Egypt. But God showed everybody, and especially Am Yisrael. And after all of this, if you think it's so simple, what's the result? Only 20% go out of Egypt. So it's not so simple. Because when you get to a level of, let's say, I'm going on. You know, sometimes people have a job, which is not a very good job. And they got insulted, and they're not getting promotion, and somebody else is getting promotion, and they're always the bad guys, the one that everybody insults. And you know, you would think this guy will leave his work. But in real life, what is he doing? He's going on and on. Maybe he comes home at night, oh, another terrible day, oh, I killed that. It's so terrible. And then the next day, he wakes up and goes again to the same place. And he goes on suffering and suffering. Sometimes, I used to be in a special system of selling, and one of the things that they try to teach us is that you have to take the guy out of his comfort zone. Now, comfort zone is not like you hear it. It's not always comfort. It's like the point where you are and you're used to it, it's more the used part, the place where you used to be. No, we are people of habits. If we get used to something, it's impossible for us to change it. And this is exactly the point where we have to take ourselves and think, one minute, are we in the right way? Can we change things? And it's difficult, you know. Sometimes you come to a guy and tell him, this guy was really being insulted, not being promoted in work and other, and you come to him, I'll offer you a good job. I'll give you a good job. And you know, 90% of the cases, what is the answer? I'll think about it, and the next day?
He's still thinking.
I'm good. Why? He's afraid of a change. And we're always afraid of a
change.
That's
what happened by so many of the people didn't get out of Germany.
Exactly. As I said in last week, that is unfortunately, that's the same story. It's written on the wall. But when you're used to something, you go on with it. And you go on, and you go on, and you go on. And you get involved. You know, people didn't believe in Nazi Germany, that they couldn't believe it. They said, hey, it's going to change. And they went on with their life. And they were being tortured. And they still went on, didn't leave. Because in the beginning, they had the option to leave. They could leave with no problem. Especially the German Jews. The Nazis wanted them out. They didn't want to touch their own Jews. They wanted to touch the Jews of others. Their Jews, they wanted out. But then, when they didn't leave, they also dealt with them.
That's why we are here.
Yeah, that's why my parents also, Baruch Hashem, did the Aliyah. But that's exactly the point. And that's what we have to understand. That's why we read this parsha. That's why it's so important to remember every day Yetziat Mitzrayim. To remember who created this world. You know, there is the Sefer of Kuzari, if you heard about it. And this book of Kuzari is this king who wants to worship God. So he does certain things. And then in a dream, an angel comes to him and says, your intentions are very good, but your deeds are no good. So instead of telling him what to do, they're leaving this king up in the air. So he understands that it's his job to find out what is the right way to worship God. Because you know, that's why we build the Agada on questions and answers. Because if you get something ready and you don't ask and you don't inquire, it's the same way it went to you, same way it's going to go out. But if you inquire and you ask and you get answers, then it's going to stay in you. That's why the king of Kuzar has to find out by himself what is the right way to worship God. So he calls all the people of the Christians, the Muslims, and also the philosophers. And he doesn't even think in the beginning about the Jews. Because the Jews are considered a very low life. They are not going to have anything to reveal or to tell to this king about how to worship God. So all the answers he's getting is not satisfying. But everybody is telling him, the Christian are telling him we believe in God who created the world, the Muslim tell him we believe in God that created the world. But whatever they say the philosophy is, he says he's a clever king and I'm not going to go through it. Because that's the whole book of Kuzari. But he doesn't like it. It doesn't sound good. So he's got no option. He has to call who? The Jew. So he calls this rabbi and asks him, what do you believe in? He says, I believe in God who took us out of Egypt. So the king starts laughing. That's what you believe in? Everybody before you told me, I believe in God who created the world. And you're telling me that your big deal is that you believe in God who took you out of Egypt? What's the big deal here? And you think, I thought this guy, they are stupid, those Jews. But then he explains to him. He says, you see, in Yetziat Mitzrayim, everybody believes. If you ask the Christians and if you ask the Muslims, they all will tell you, yes, God took Am Israel out of Egypt. So now I want to ask you, why did God take Am Israel out of Egypt? And he didn't take the Christians out of Egypt. He didn't take the Muslims out of Egypt. He took Am Israel out of Egypt. So now, the king was curious. What's going on here? And then the book starts. In other words, he explains to him that the basic of our belief is what? Not that we believe in God that created the world, because this is not just a say. But we believe in God who took us out of Egypt. Through this, You will come to the belief in God who created the world. Because everybody believes that God took us out of Egypt. Then they have all those stories. But why did God took us out of Egypt? All the plagues he gave out from one reason. To show the whole world, and especially to us,
yeah,
that there is a God, and there is nobody else has God, and God is also here looking after everything that we do. And this is exactly why it's so important to learn about Yetziat Mitzrayim and to understand and realize what it's all about.
I wanted to say something about when you get used to something, you don't want to change, is the same. Old habits die hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's our problem. And we have to get out of our comfort zone and get into action. Because if you're not in the right place, you can change. And the power to do this is to look in our past and understand and realize that behind everything, there is God. And if God is behind everything, as God says, Ani Hashem, I am mercy. Even if it looks to you a judgment, wow, I'm not going to go through it. Behind it, there is always mercy. Because God is all mercy. God wants to give us. God wants to give us all the best of the world. But there is a procedure. We have to go through it in order to understand and realize who God is and what it's all about. And that's why we see. And I want to end with another interesting point of view for our parsha. There are a lot of things to learn. Because really, it's the plagues and everything. Maybe next week I'm not going to be here. I'm going to an exhibition in Germany, but the week later we see when we'll find the
Germany.
So, one of the interesting points of our parsha is that after five plagues, Pharaoh wants to send Am Israel. But then what's happening? God is hardening his heart. And we ask ourselves, why? If he already wants to send, why do you hardening his heart? And where is the free will? Where is the free choice? We're all based on the free will that we can choose to do good or bad. And here, the choice was being taken from Pharaoh. How does it go with reality? What with the Torah? This is against the Torah, looks like it. From the other side, another interesting point. If somebody, for example, the Beit Din tells him to divorce his wife, and he doesn't want to, so the Beit Din can force him to give a get to his wife, a divorce, and it's okay. Now, why am I saying it's okay? Because he has to do it willingly, not forced to do it. So the question is, and there is not only mitzvah, there are a lot of other mitzvahs that the Beit Din can force a guy, ad sheyomar rotzeh ani, till he says, I want to do it. And the question is here, where is the free will here? This is strange. The real truth is that we have to look what is our real free will. What do we really want inside us? Now, let's look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh inside, if I take all the threats and all the plagues, does Pharaoh want to send Am Israel?
No.
No. So in other words, his free will is what? Not to send Am Israel. So what's the problem? So God is giving you another plague, because anyway he doesn't want to read. That the free will is not to release. He will release Am Israel because God forces him to do it. In other words, the free will was not taken from Pharaoh. Because his free will is what? Not to send Am Israel.
Well, he ran after us anyhow.
What? Sorry?
I said after the 10th plague.
Yeah.
But he ran after and tried to get
exactly.
Us
so we see that Pharaoh's free real will is not to send Am Israel. So there is no problem with the free will. Now let's go to this guy with the base thing. He's forcing him to do something against his will. What is a real free will of a Jew? Like we are sitting here. What do we really want? Do we really want to do what God orders us to do? Or do we want to do, or do we want to go against God?
We don't have free will.
You have free will. That's exactly the point. I'm asking, what is your free will? I'm not talking about things that force you to do certain things. I'm talking like, let's take everything out. The real truth, the inside me. What do we want? Do we want to do what God wants us to do or not?
Yes.
Not always.
You don't want to do, inside you. You want to do what God wants you to do?
Of course.
Think about it. I'm not talking about that, oh, if I do this, I do that. Now, I'm talking free, free of all worries, free of everything. God wants you to do something. Do you want to do it? Do you believe in God? Do you want to do what God is telling you to do?
Yeah.
Do you believe in God?
Almost everybody believes in God at the end of the way. You know, I met an exhibition in here in Israel when I've been there, a guy that was selling carpets. He had a booth in front of me. And we were starting talking, and he tells me he hates all the religious, he hates the Hasdernik, he hates everybody. Because his father taught him they're all parasites and they're, he hates God. He says, my father always says he was a survivor from the Holocaust. He tells me he hates two things. He hates the Polness, and God. So, you know, how come? It's nothing to talk with a guy like this, you know. What are you going to explain? But the funny thing is, what did he say? I hate God. So do you believe in God or not? If you hate something, you mean you believe in it. Because otherwise you cannot hate something you don't believe. So at the end of the day, most of us are believers. Now, if we'll take everything out of the picture and we'll have our pure free will, which is, by the way, our neshama. And a Jewish neshama wants to be connected to who? To God. Unfortunately, there are things that make it difficult. But I'm not talking about this. We're talking about the idea, what is our real free will? Real one, not the fake one. The real one. Yes, I want to go to movie. I want to have something. Yeah, that's not your free will. That's the will of the Yetzer Hara. But if you take Yetzer Hara out of the picture, what do I really want to do? I want to do what God wants me to do. In other words, when the Beis Din is forcing this guy to say Rotzeh Ani, what is he really doing? Is he doing it willingly? Yes. Because at the end of the day, the neshama wants to do what God wants it to do. From the other side, the neshama of a goy doesn't care about God. I'm talking about neshama of a goy. You have to understand, sometimes it can be a goy with a Jewish neshama. I'm not going to go into it. That's Kabbalah already. But that's taking things difficult. But let's say the simple way. Pharaoh, which is for us, he's the symbol of a goy. He doesn't care about God because he says, I am God. Which, let's say, 80% of the world say, I am God, I serve myself, I serve what I want. What I want, that's what's important. Because I worship who? I worship me. I worship myself. That's my God. So in other words, his free will has got nothing to do with what God wants. So here we had a very interesting point from both sides. What is free will for a Jew, for Jewish people, and what is the free will for others? And that's exactly the difference between Pharaoh and Am Yisrael. And by the way, as I always say, this Pharaoh is inside us, and this Jew is inside us. And we have this fight all the time. So what we have to learn is to learn that there is God. He is the one who controls everything, and everything he does is for the good. Even if it doesn't look so, in the beginning, as Moshe Rabbeinu says, what have you done? Now you take this and spread it on whatever time you want. Because for Moshe Rabbeinu it was 1 day or 2 days. For sometimes it can be years. But at the end of the day, what is it? What God is telling him? You will see. Now you will see. When is it now? Bezrat Hashem, I hope it will be now. Now.
Bezrat Hashem.
Of course, everything is Bezrat Hashem. Exactly. That's the point. That's exactly.
Believe
exactly. That's exactly the point.